south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
Hey, you gotta laugh at this. Remember a couple shows ago I talked about how in high-end supermarkets and in areas where you have the wealthy Latins, they pick up on all the gringo habits, they want to copy everything that we do? They get that from watching way too much cable TV. You know, they get all U.S. shows down here, translated, of course. Those shows just perpetuate the idea that the U.S. is paved in gold and milk and honey. Except, of course, if you live in the ghetto, and nobody thinks they're ever going to emigrate to the States and live in the ghetto. They're going to be middle class, you know, making 40 or 50 grand a year, which is a salary beyond riches here in Latin America, where the minimum wage fluctuates between $300 and $400 a month. And they call middle class anyone making $500 to $1,500 a month, which is abject poverty if you're living up in the States. And you know, a good example on how the Latin public is so misinformed about lifestyles in the U.S. is how just recently I was watching a very new movie in the living room of a Latino family, and there were a bunch of them sitting around, was a movie called Blockers. A funny movie, actually. It's a story of three kind of dysfunctional American families whose girls are growing up together, and they're all turning around 16 or 17. And in one scene in the movie, showing one of the girls on her 16th birthday receiving a brand new car with a nice big bow on it. Now, Latinos are addicted to first world TV, and they see that kind of stuff over and over again. They think that kind of thing is an American birthright. What else are they going to think? Anyway, speaking of Latinos here, you've heard me say it's all about the show, and it really is. Anyway, I was talking about how now they've got organic chickens and organic chicken eggs in practically all upscale supermarkets, and whole sections of organic and non-GMO foods, too. Well, that day when I bought my own organic free-range chicken eggs, I was standing in that aisle, you know, the non-GMO, so-called natural, quote, organic food aisle. And there were two ladies there buying stuff, mother and daughter. Mother maybe 55, daughter 20-something, decked out in casual designer clothes. A lot of gold and silver bangles and trinkets, I'm sure the real thing. And in the interest of having a good story for this show, I decided to fuck with them. Just a little bit anyway. I said, oh, so you're buying non-GMO gluten-free cornflakes. And yes, they call them cornflakes here. They don't say hojas de maíz, which is a literal translation. They say cornflakes. So I played dumb. I played clueless gringo. I asked them, what's this GMO stuff anyway? What is that? And neither of them knew what GMO even meant. Then I said, what about this gluten and non-gluten stuff? What's that do? And they didn't know a thing about gluten either. But I did notice that they had in their shopping cart a big frozen carton of tilapia. You know, that ubiquitous fish that doesn't come from the ocean, but's grown in artificial swimming pools, dosed with antibiotics, and kind of just lives and swims around all day in its own feces. Now that's a pleasant thought, huh? Yes, they're continually dosed with antibiotics, or they'll get sick and die. In fact, I happen to know a gringa and her husband who have such a tilapia farm, and they also have a shrimp farm, too. And oddly enough, they have two daughters, both very nice kids, well brought up, and now they're going to school, university, up in the States, both on their way to obtaining worthless liberal arts degrees, but it doesn't matter because their parents are loaded. Now, one of them, a real tree hugger, told me she will never eat the shrimp from her mother and father's shrimp farm. Man, I wonder what the dinner conversations are like in that family. Especially since she has the privilege of going to school up in the States. Her parents paying something like triple the tuition because she's from out of the country, courtesy of her parents' disgusting and toxic tilapia and shrimp farm. Meanwhile, back in the organic food aisle, you've got this upscale Latina mother and daughter buying all this healthy stuff with a frozen box of tilapia in the shopping cart, a 12-pack of Diet Coke, and a nice big family pack of splendid artificial sweetener. Nice schizophrenic mix, huh? Just more proof that here in Latin America, even with the entitled high-end Latin population, they've got extremely incomplete educations, though they can afford to have any education they want. But actually learning about the true nature of things, well, that's a different story. That takes a little work. You have to read articles and get the hell off a fake book and twaddle first. I can tell you that's not going to happen. In fact, I've never met a single Latino yet who knew what the alternative media was. In fact, if you start going into the business of how three or four big corporations own 90% of the news outlets, you've already lost these Latin guys. And those so-called college-educated Latinos, they'll tell you they're well-informed. They get their news from CNN Latin America. As a younger, hotter Britney Spears might have said, gag me with a spoon. So, unfortunately, for upscale Latinos, it's the show and what everybody else thinks about you that trumps all. Doesn't that sound familiar? Which is why so many long-term gringo and gringa expats that I know, when they hook up with or have some kind of romantic or even marriage encounter with one of these high-end Latins, in the long term, the relationship never seems to work out. For one thing, it's very true here in Latin America. They say you marry the guy or gal and their family too. Though I also know many gringos and gringas who've been in long-term relationships with middle and slightly upper middle class Latinos and Latinas, and those relationships by and large seem to work out pretty well, especially when the gringo or gringa in question knows a bit of Spanish, and that usually happens pretty fast when you're off the gringo tourist trail, because when you're stuck going to Saturday or Sunday dinner at your cuñado's house, that would be your in-laws, when simply all the conversation is in Spanish, man, you pick it up fast or exist in a bubble of ignorance of your own making. Oh, by the way, if you're down here long enough, you're going to hear this little axiom coming out of gringo and gringa mouths. They'll tell you, one of the keys to romantic and mating and dating success is to hook up with a Latino or Latina that already has a job. Or as they say in Spanish, a person who's a buen trabajador, a good worker, someone with a strong work ethic. Then you can be sure your other half is not going to sit around the house all day watching telenovelas and sucking down chicharrones and chetos. Yep, there's a lot of truth in that. Meanwhile, back at the organic food aisle in that high-end supermarket, I walked past the big display where the free-range eggs used to be. I said used to be because on that day, they were gone. Yet there was a huge supply just a few days earlier. There were probably 100 cartons stacked up. So I asked the produce guy who was sorting mangoes. I said, where are the free-range chicken eggs? He said, oh, we'll have more of them in a couple of days. I said, what happened? You had a ton of them just 2-3 days ago. And he gave me the name of a well-known high-end restaurant in the neighborhood. And he said, they came in and bought them all. Then I thought, aha, you know what that means. Free-range chicken eggs will soon be on that menu. And in a high-end neighborhood like that, probably a very good marketing ploy. But here's the rub. You know who owns that high-end restaurant? A first-world European guy from Belgium. Figures, huh? The gringo advantage rise again. Gringo being interchangeable with Western European. Meanwhile, right above the stand where the free-range chicken eggs are usually found, there was this sign. Let me read this to you. Totally in Spanish, of course. And if you want me to send you a picture of this man, just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. It says, and I'll translate, dear discriminating consumer, our delicious fresh eggs from Rancho España have been harvested from our free-range chickens that have grown up in true liberty. Oh, so they've got a flock of libertarian chickens. Then it says, each one of them has their own large space and natural atmosphere to help them combat the stress of what entails being a chicken. It goes on to say, our happy chickens are provided with abundant pure water. And get this, toys and columpios. You know what that translates into? Well, that's what they call kitty swings and monkey bars you see in parks. Columpios. So the chickens have their own playground and workout space. How cool. Though it's probably all BS anyway. This is my favorite part. It says they're also provided with adequate shade and soothing music. Which begs the question, or not, who picks out, or I should say packs out, the music? Hell, according to this, they live better than 95% of the Latin population. Even better than some of us gringos. How about that? But it's probably all BS. Oh, they have a website, RanchoEspana.com, and they have a Facebook site, too. Who'd have thunk, huh? And man, their marketing works. Hey, I've been buying them. Oh, and those organic chicken eggs are always a little bit smaller than the usual suspects. You know, if they weren't, that would be a big red flag. You'd have to be suspicious. Anyway, I just thought you might get a kick out of what's happening in the Latin American driveway / free-range chicken front. Speaking of health and nutrition, to me, one of the best ways to find out what a person's lifestyle and what that person's all about is to go into the grocery store and see what kind of junk they have in their shopping cart. Better yet, when you're in someone's house, have a sneak peek into their refrigerator. Then you'll have a good idea of what kind of health problems that family has or doesn't have or is going to have. Or as my mom always claims, and she's right, have a look in the back seat of someone's car. She says you're looking at how that person's mind is organized. By the way, you longtime listeners might have heard me tell that story, or maybe I didn't. Way back when I used to have my business up in the States in Chicago many years ago, when I'd interview people, you know, usually had something like 6 ladies working for me, so there was some rotating going on. I'd always take the candidate, the new prospect, to a coffee shop or lunch, and I'd say, let's take your car. And man, I can tell you, I got some weird looks from those ladies. Are you sure? And believe me, every last one of them, as we were opening the car door, would say to me, you sure we should go in my car? It's kind of a mess right now. In fact, I remember one young lady's car was just saturated with humidity, and I looked in the back seat, there was a plant growing out of the floor. A small plant, but still. All right, so maybe that's good if you're hiring a girl to run a garden center. But I digress. Man, did I digress. Now, you know, I get a lot of emails. I read them all. I don't answer them all. I get some hate mail, too. Get under some people's skin, I guess, but they keep listening. And I also get my share of compliments and backhanded compliments, too. So what do you make of this one? The subject line says, great recent show, Johnny. It's succinct, back to basics, fun, not self-serving. Then in the body of the email, he says, great recent show, Johnny, and here's why. Nice, well-rounded, kind of back to basics as you touched on them over the years, and dovetailed right into a seminar pitch that did not come off at all like a shameless self-promotion tirade. You hit on the residency pros for Guatemala, the altiplano luscious climate, ease of starting a business, yet pointers on being prepared for at least 6 months as you get started, etc. A nice market story tossed in for immediacy and local color. Well-rounded, very pro, as in pros and cons go. Anyway, thanks for the pep talk on sticking it out with Spanish learning. Quite a few folks probably got some win in their sails about that. As for me, he says, I'm in Mexico, and it's pretty cheap and fairly exotic here in a state known for its corruption, but still ultimately on the gringo tourist trail just by fact that I am in Mexico. Now, Johnny, the lawyers here are more expensive, and if I were to hit a kid while driving, it would be instant jail time for me, with no chance a lawyer could spring me. And to get residency here, you'd have to go through flaming hoops and circles. It's absolutely ridiculous. Though, you really got to love it down here, anywhere in Latin America. All right, so he brings up a good point. You know, doesn't matter where you are in Latin America, if you hit somebody with your car, that is a normal pedestrian or someone on a bike or even a motorcycle, if you do not have a lawyer to call up immediately, man, you are going to jail. That is, if he's dead or even if he's hurt and has to go to the hospital. And they're taking your car, too. And when you go to jail, they're taking your cell phone. So what do you do then? I know. I've had this discussion before with many a clueless gringo. They say, why, I'd just call the U.S. Embassy. I mean, that's what they're there for. Help gringos. They'll save me. They'll get me out of it. Or at least they'll represent me. And I say, man, you really are clueless, aren't you? Your embassy does not give one shit about you. All they're there for is to track you so you can remain in the Big Brother system as a cow for future milking. Now, this isn't a plug for Latin lawyers. All I'm saying is you just better have one to call. And if you're driving, you better have insurance. Even the cheapest $150 a year third-party coverage is plenty good. Oh, and the insurance companies are rather first world-ish in that they'll show up right away. They'll be real professional about it. And they will have lawyers to represent you. That's part of having insurance. But if you, like me and so many gringos who've experienced the off-the-tourist trail living, when your insurance rep shows up, he probably won't speak English. And if you've nailed someone and they're going to the hospital and no one speaks English, then what? So again, the ideal situation if you hit somebody is first, Call your lawyer second. Call your insurance company, and they'll probably both show up at the same time. Then you are covered, except, as our emailer writes, in Mexico, and I also have to add, any place on the gringo tourist trail, because gringos are marks, and they know you have money. So if you know you're going to jail right now or being threatened with it, if your lawyer's not around or you don't have one, you just might be tempted to pull out your wallet and start the negotiation with some dead presidents. So under a worst case or even a neutral case scenario, suppose you hit someone on a Friday night, you end up in jail because you didn't have a personal lawyer to call. Eventually, you'll get your time in front of a judge to tell your story, but that might not be for a couple of days. This is Latin America, you know. The right to a speedy trial or a hearing in front of a judge is on super mañana time here. Now, over the years, you longtime listeners have heard me tell many stories about how lawyers have saved stupid gringos. In fact, you've heard me tell a few stories recently of super drunk gringos who've been driving and stopped by cops. And without having a lawyer on their speed dial, they'd have certainly ended up in jail. And instead, the cops ended up driving them home, like Barney Fife would do if he were in Mayberry. Okay, so I don't want to keep beating this have a lawyer dead horse thing, but have a lawyer. By the way, that's one of the very best advantages to coming down to my Expat Insider Seminar. We introduce you to our seminar lawyer, and he's got a little team of assistants and a couple other lawyers in his office you'll get to meet and hang with personally. There's nothing better than being thrown together a couple of days, in fact, for a week, with a Latin lawyer, because then you've bonded and you're friends. You're not just some hazy talking head if you have to speed dial them because you got in some kind of trouble or you need some answers. It's true, at my seminars, you make a lot of lifelong friends. And most often, they're the ones that count, too. So at my seminars, you're going to meet the necessary people, the ones you'll need to get along in life when you first get down here to Latin America. You'll want to have a doctor, lawyer, accountant, dentist, people to call, people to give you advice, people you know, people you've actually spoken to and have had a week or so to hang out with 24/7. That's why I limit the attendance at my seminars to no more than 25 people, so that everyone can really get to know everyone else. All right, speaking of shameless plugs, when people send me emails saying, Johnny, enough of the shameless plugs, here's what I say to them, or what I'd like to say to them. How many expat file shows are out there on the web? More than 800 plus, more than 150 YouTubes. That's around 400 hours of content. And you know, if listening to all my shows were a real 40-hour-a-week job, it would take you 10 40-hour weeks to hear all the shows. And how much did you pay for all that advice? Nothing. I repeat, you got 400 hours of advice for nothing. So, ladies and gents, when I talk about my seminar and people say it's shameless promotion, I'd like to know, do you want me to give seminars for free, too? Do you work for free? I know, some people want everything for free, a la Bernie Sanders. But if you have a half a brain, you know nothing's for nothing. So, maybe what some people think of as shameless promotion is my way of justifying, balancing out, and making it worth all the effort and hours it takes to put together the whole package, the seminar, the shows, the YouTubes. So is it shameless promotion or not? Now, speaking of Mexico, got Tammy writing in here. She says, Johnny, here's another Mexican story for you. You can add this one to your another reason why I hate Mexico files. Oh, and by the way, Tammy, I get almost no negative email about other Latin countries, and I get lots of emails. That is to say, the negative things people write to me about Mexico is running about 8-1 negative over positive. Now, as for those emails I get from gringos and expats living in other Latin countries, they're almost always positive. They talk about the fun, the energy, the people, the adventure. They've all got their share of the good, the bad, the ugly, but people usually don't tell me about the ugly. Of course, there's all the usual endemic things about Latin America everyone complains about, no matter where you are, you know, mañana time, those skanky and stanky bathrooms and hygiene issues, Montezuma's revenge, bad roads, terrible drivers, crappy infrastructure, spotty handicapped access, missing manhole covers, maids putting aluminum foil in a microwave oven, you know, the little annoying stuff you notice at first that you have to get over, it'll just drive you crazy. The truth is, all in all, the emails I get from people living in Latin America are almost always on the positive side, except for Mexico. with Panama, Costa Rica, and Belize running close seconds for places expats wish they wouldn't have moved to. Oh, and let's not forget those three steaming piles of elephant poop in the room. That would be Venezuela, Cuba, and now Nicaragua. But as for the other 14 or 15 Latin countries, man, long-term gringos and expats living in those places have nothing but good things to say about them. Which is why I want you to hear this little email from Tammy. She says, Johnny, you probably get negative emails about Mexico from people all the time, but I thought I'd share this one anyway. And I'll paraphrase this a little bit like I do most all emails, because one thing you learn if you're in the radio podcast biz, if you don't get to the meat and throw in a few zingers, people will dive into social media, porn surf, or jump on Amazon in a heartbeat. So Tammy says, last week, I just came from Arizona down to Baja, Mexico. Wouldn't you know it, right in front of my little gated, guarded community is a Pemex gas station. So that day I needed a full tank of fuel, and they have diesel. Now, I could stop the story right here, and you could figure out your own unhappy ending, but here's the whole sad, money-sucking story. Johnny, I followed your advice and went to the ATM machine so I could pay for everything in pesos. Did that so they didn't hit me twice on the inflated exchange rate. Now, I just got down here, so I'm not really good yet at doing the peso-dollar exchange rate instantly in my head. Sure, I'll get there, but I'm in no way Speedy Gonzales at that trick yet. And you see, Johnny, my truck holds 26 gallons, and I wasn't quite empty, so I needed 24 or 25 gallons, or 94 to 98 liters. Johnny, the sign outside the Pemex said 20.75 pesos per liter. That's expensive as it is, a little over $4 a gallon. In total, I got charged 2,710 pesos. So I had the gas station attendant repeat it, and I looked at his phone screen to make sure. I had exact change, so I paid it. And remember, I still can't do the conversions in my head. So I went home, used my converter on my phone after I had it charged up, and I realized I paid almost 40 US dollars more for my fuel than was necessary. Then she inserts a big sigh here. So, Johnny, she says, my mistake, other than being a trusting gringa, was that I didn't make sure the gas pump was zeroed out before I started the fill-up process. Since then, I've heard that's a big Pemex gas station scam, and now I know it, and it'll never happen again. Though it's funny, I never thought in my whole life to check a pump to see if it was zeroed out before filling up. Then she says, ha ha, Johnny, welcome to Mexico. Then she says, Johnny, does this kind of thing happen in your neck of the coffee fields? Just wondering. Oh, and I'm still working on coming to the seminar, too. The beach here in Mexico kind of sucks. It's really hot and the prices are very high. Not just the gas prices, either. Signed, Super Hot and Sweaty Tammy in Mexico. Or maybe she meant Tammy in Super Hot and Sweaty Mexico. But come on, don't we really prefer Super Hot and Sweaty Tammy? Because it's so on PC. All right, Tammy, thanks for that. Keep those cards and letters coming. Do people still get cards and letters? All right, let's talk about filling up at Latin American gas stations. Tammy, I'd say practically every new green gringo on the Latin American tourist trail, I'm saying on the tourist trail, has been ripped off by that little scam. I got hit up the very same way when I first came down and landed in Costa Rica. Funny enough, when you're off the gringo tourist trail, you'll almost always hear the gas station attendant say, before he does anything, zero la bomba. And he'll point to the numbers on the pump, and it'll be zeroed out. Of course, cero in Spanish begins with a C, not a Z, and bomba, like the song La Bomba, means pump. And it means bomb, too. Oh, and throughout Latin America, they have different names for gas stations. In most places in Central America, they'll call them gasolineras. In Caribbean land countries like Cuba, Dominican Republic, and Puerto Rico, they call them bomba or la bomba. In other Latin countries, they call them estaciones de servicio, that's service stations. Anyway, these days, when you're off the tourist trail, you'll almost always hear the attendant say, zero la bomba. But that's not enough. You should look at the pump. I can tell you this, and I saw it for myself. When I was driving with a Latin lady one day, the guy said, zero la bomba. She didn't look at the thing. Most Latin people take the guy's word for it. and she got nailed for a couple extra bucks on her gas bill. Oh, and it's interesting to note, gas stations in Latin America are a lot like gas stations used to be in the States. That is, they're full service. Man, the guys will swarm your car. They'll want to check your oil, tire pressure, wipe down your windows, the whole works. And, of course, pump the gas. Sure, there's always a few self-service pumps, and if you use one of those, they're always 10 to 20 cents cheaper per gallon than the full-service pump 10 feet away. Oh, and that's another thing. Depending which Latin country you're in, they'll use either liters or gallons. It's not consistent throughout the 20 Latin countries, but it's consistent within each Latin country. Oh, and here's a little trick. Like I said, if you go to the self-service pump, gas is 10 or 20 cents cheaper a gallon. Well, strangely enough, if you pull up to one of those self-serve pumps, roll your window down, and the gas station attendant sees that you're a gringo, all of a sudden, that gringo advantage will kick in. Now, I'm talking about if you're off the tourist trail. This happens to me all the time. Suddenly, one of the full-service guys will come over and pump your gas, wipe your windows down, etc., as if it was a full-service pump station. So, in effect, you can get your gas 10 or 20 cents cheaper a gallon and get full service, too, all because you're a gringo. Of course, you can't predict that's going to happen 100% of the time, but it'll happen most of the time. Once in a while, I do it myself. And, of course, being that Latin America is a pervasive macho society, ladies, you get that gringo advantage on steroids when you roll down your window. So much for equality, huh? By the way, Bernie Sanders, it's the end of the month. Where's my white privilege check? All right, we're almost at the end of the show now. How about a shameless seminar plug? Remember my next Expat Insider Seminar, which will take place in two Latin countries this time, will be starting January 5th, 2019, and it'll last an entire week. And note that 7 hotel nights are included in the price. And my guarantee is that you'll get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B. Best of all, meet and hang with all the necessary connections you'll need in starting out in a new country. Plus, you'll meet a lot of like-minded people who will end up being your lifelong friends. Just go to the newexpat.com website for all the info and the sign-up sheet. Remember, you can kill two birds with one stone. That is, come down to the seminar and apply for your Guatemalan residency at the very same time, too. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com and read all about it.
You've been listening to the Expat Files Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy.